The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous and Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there are things that I get to do that are sort of and foreign to me, but I have learned along the way that they are important. So yes, we look at things like and constitutions and how things are done and figures and budgets and this and that. We look at membership lists. We answer questions of all kinds of institutional neighbors and manners. And I have to admit that it sort of comes natural to one who actually works in the church to think in these terms. In a couple of weeks, the Synod is going to gather again in assembly, and we will have reports, and we will have resolutions and amendments to constitutions and talks and speeches and workshops and all kinds of things. And if you've never been to one, I hope that you will have the opportunity to go at least once. I think it's important that everyone be involved in this. It's a wonderful opportunity. It certainly is a way of seeing the church in wider degrees than just the confines of this particular congregation. But I think in terms of, so what congregation do you belong to, and who's your pastor? And right now I'm beginning to think things like, and is there any chance they're going to move soon? So I'm always looking for my next gig, as it were. And we wonder about things like and structures and committees and departments and these things. But I was reminded in a wonderful way yesterday that this is not the church at all. It's merely the way that the church needs to pay attention to some necessary things in order that we can do our work well. But the church is much more than this. I went to the closing of Trinity Lutheran College in LBI. It was a service that went for three hours, but we all survived, and I, for one, had a wonderful time. I knew that I would see friends there, but I was not aware for the connections that I would be faced with. Of course, it was a story that begins, and certainly there was a presentation on where this whole movement kind of thing came from, and it came from even as far back as 1917. I mention that because, of course, it was the 400th anniversary of the Reformation. This next year, it will be the 500th year of the Reformation. 1917, of course, was also a time that we were concerned about going into World War I. But it was also the year that Queen Anne was founded. It was also a movement that began to grow with the crazy idea that if you gave real people who sit in the pews a few basic tools on how to look at Scripture, that they might change the way in which they live and serve in the world. And in many ways, it worked. Shirley attended the first home at Gethsemane Lutheran Church. I attended the second one at Greenwood. I have to admit that any time I hear the name Greenwood, I cannot but help but think of the times that I spent there in those two years. Then, of course, it moved out to Issaquah and back to Everett. But through all of these, the movements and the homes and the buildings that were inhabited were not so important as the fact that these were people who were being changed themselves and changing the world. Along with the Bible school movement, there were other things that came up, other kinds of and organizations and other kinds of emphases, World Mission Prayer League, the crazy idea that if you're going to do mission, maybe the first thing you need to do is to pray. So they would get together and simply pray that God would raise up workers to go into the field, and God did. It still is alive and very vital in its work around the world. I, for one, am particularly glad that there was one student there, Wes Preeb, who had the crazy idea that maybe, just maybe, Howe Sound Mining Company might give Holden Village to the Bible school. And somehow it worked, and you know how that goes. And I was just told that Virginia might have been on the very first camping trip to Holden Village back when she was a child, as her dad, Art, for whom we are praying each week, was sort of checking the place out. I am very pleased that this whole thing with Holden worked out as well as it did. My wife and Gretchen went there as the camp nurse for a summer, stayed a year, and during that time, the director kept on telling her, you should go to seminary. And when she finally did, that's where we met. So in one more way, Lutheran Bridal Institute came through again. I was also intrigued that there I met a woman that I met for the first time at my second call in Emerado, North Dakota, just across the street from the Grand Forks Air Force Base. Her husband was stationed there, but I had gone to LBI with her older sister. A few more years on down the road, and my wife and Gretchen was the visitation and pastor in a parish that served her parents in Cooperstown. I met another woman there, and as soon as I saw her, I thought, this is Lene, I know her. She came from my church in Scottsdale when I was stationed in the Air Force there in Arizona. I connected with this little church because another student from an LBI had come from that church. When I was on leave, I called her up and said, so where do you go to church? And she said, I go to this little church. I said, I'll see you there on Sunday. I got connected there, and that's where I was ordained. I hadn't seen Lene in 40 years. It was wonderful to see her. I saw Doug and Haugen, one of my roommates, who has been the director of Lutheran Men in Mission for years now and is doing great work. I saw a man who had come as a Messiah and had come to Trinity as a student. He went back and became the bishop of the Morogoro Diocese in Tanzania, and later on invited a team from First Lutheran Church in Bothell to come and visit in Tanzania. I, of course, jumped at the chance. I thought, well, I'll see if he remembers me. It was like we'd had not been away at all. A wonderful opportunity. I saw a number of my esteemed friends, of course, were there. Gene Wallstrom had a tremendous ministry there back before she became a missionary to the girls' school. She and her husband Marv, when they retired, they retired in Bellevue and became members of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, but were still very much connected with Cross of Christ, which is where I served before I came here. I knew that Gene and Marv were praying for me and for the congregation that I served. It was a great gift. And even though I didn't really get a chance to meet Gene until just a few years ago, I learned to sing in a church choir seated next to her brother, Marlon. Marlon and I would sit there, and Marlon had a voice that was more attuned to Ralph Stanley and Hank Williams than J.S. Bach. But he would sing with great joy. It was fun. He was a great and wonderful gift to me. Jane Presby is one that I had heard about through all of these things. I was not connected around here. I was back in the Midwest while she was doing her things at the college. But on my first an interim here, I ended up in the same text study with Jane, as she was the pastor at Kent Lutheran Church. And of course, I saw the tremendous gifts that she had, and for ministry in all kinds of ways. I was struck by the question that if just in my own life there were so many of these connections. I mean, I was talking to people on the street and there were connections going on. If just in my own life I have been so richly blessed, what happens with these 400 people who gathered? Do they all have the same kinds of stories? Do they all have those things that were important in their life? Do they all have those same kinds of connections? Is it really true that Kevin Bacon is only 6 degrees of separation away? I don't know. It's interesting to think about, though. But it's a reminder that the church is something more. John 17 is oftentimes called the high priestly prayer. It's that part in this long extended and section of John. It is referred to that because of a phrase in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, where Jesus is referred to as our great high priest, and he certainly is. As a priest, he is our mediator and the one who prays for us. But this has also been called Jesus' prayer for the church. We are the church. We are those who have been loved by a God and have been given a message of God's love. And it is not tied up in some and package or certificate, or if you call right now, we'll send it out to you. No, this takes place in relationships. Among people, among those who share God's love with each other, with all of those who find different ways of reaching out. Yes, we're coming to the end of this particular story of Trinity and LBI, but it continues on. This is not, after all, an institution, but it's a movement. And there are many more like them. I was intrigued to be reminded that there's a friend of and Spencer and Amy, who's been around here a couple of times. He was and helping to load boxes at the at our Redeemers on Friday. So I had the chance to talk to him. He was a student at Trinity too before he went off to SPU. When he finishes this spring, he will be going off to California to be a teacher there and to begin a program in a new and different way. I think of another friend who was working on her doctorate. She was a dean at one time of the Biblical Studies and program there, Beth Nelsness Hansen. Beth is one who was interested in many things. She will be going to Uppsala, Sweden. Uppsala is one of the oldest Lutheran mission and organizations in the world. It has a connection for over 100 years, and she will be going there. And as I was explaining to her the good news of what is going on here at Queen Anne, is you will be receiving a new pastor who will be able to use his strengths to help you understand more what it means to have faith in this particular day and in this particular world. She was explaining there's a revival that is going on in Sweden, and it's being brought about by Muslims. As the refugees from Syria come into Sweden, they are saying, we are Muslims because it was the only thing available to us. Tell us what this Jesus is. And now these Swedes who have pretty much ignored what it means to be a Christian, because in their world, hey, everybody's a Christian, what's the big deal? Now they are having to answer the question for themselves. What is the big deal? What does it mean in this day and age? And so there's new life that is and taking place in strange and unusual places around the world, because this is the nature of the word. It is a crazy idea, that God would actually speak to us, but Jesus does. And he has given himself to us in such a way that he and God become the same. That in our limited frame of understanding, that God is in Jesus and Jesus is in God. And because of this great love, he invites us in as well, to be joined to Jesus Christ. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is our task, to be the love of Jesus Christ in the world. And it makes a difference. You know, at the end of the Revelation, John gives some interesting an insight. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let everyone who hears say, "Come." Throughout the years, throughout those 72 years, there have been many who have heard, and in their own way, they too say, "Come." Come and hear God's word. Come and receive the blessings that Jesus wants and for you. Come and be those who are there for those in need. Anyone who is thirsty, let them say, "Come." Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift, come. There are many and great things that take place in Jesus' name. They are great, even though they might not be noticed, but they're where they need to be. And they are great and a part of the glory of God. It is the one who sends us, who speaks to us, who calls us, who brings us to God's self, who deserves the final amen.